Okay, I'm going to describe a model with words. Let's say we wanted to model LRC circuit, for example. Here's a model. Okay, so I guess point one of the model, it's schematically represented like this. That there's some stuff with represented by weird symbols, but the stuff is all in a loop. Okay?
Yeah. Wasn't it that physics? High school physics.
The first aspect of the model is there's a flow of charge, and the idea is that that flow of charge should be the same throughout the loop. I forget which way I have the side of the battery. That's the hit it backwards. Four things in the loop has a voltage, right? And the four voltages add up to zero. Okay, so so I have this mysterious concept called a voltage, right? Which I'm leaving undefined. But of course, it does have a physical definition. Anyways, our purpose here is there's just something called a voltage, and I have a simple model here. There's a loop, and there's this one number, the current through the loop. There's something called a voltage. And three, we can say, how about we say this? We just need to describe how the voltage is the same, interacts with currents in each of these four elements, right? So there's the battery voltage.
What are those loops?
It's made of wire. I have four things. I have a battery.
The other one is the resistance, but that is just a resistance.
This is where I have a long piece of wire, and it's in a coil.
Oh.
All right. So we could. It's just a coil of wire, a long, tightly coiled wire, has some interesting physical properties. Because if current flows through a coil of wire, it'll produce a magnetic field. and that magnetic field, if the magnetic field is changing with respect to time, then we can get then we can notice also a change in the voltage. Okay. All right. So here's our and there's our resistor, which is something that's not as good a conductor as the wire everywhere else. So it could be actually just a really long piece of wire, and it could even be coiled, but it could just be loosely coiled, so that the magnetic fields produced by the current are negligible. Now the model I need now is following, okay. So I need connections, and let's, I guess, calculate this. Start with the battery, right? Battery has constant voltage. Okay, that's one thing. What about the capacitor? The capacitor is like a battery, except it can charge and discharge really fast. It does not have constant voltage. Okay.
Bless you.
Mr. Milovich, is this when we use certain equations from the real life, and we differentiate to find things that we need?
We're going to put all this together into a big differential, into a, either a big differential equation or a system of differential equations, yes. The point of the exercise is to take some words and then turn it into something
mathematical.
Turn it into something mathematical. The capacitor voltage is supposed to be proportional to a charge difference between the two capacitor plates. So the capacitor voltage changes at a rate proportional to the current. The model for the coil is that changing current makes a changing magnetic field, which has been experimentally discovered, and now there's a whole bunch of theory to explain the general phenomenon. Anyways, changing magnetic field produces an actual voltage on the coil, so. And so the simple model is the voltage, I guess let's say the coil voltage, is proportional to the rate of change of the current. And finally, with the resistor, the actual physics of things like resistors generally involves a bunch of very complicated solid state physics beyond my full understanding. But there's a very crude, simple model that's used in practice, known as Ohm's law, which simply says that the resistor voltage is proportional to the current. And this is the very crude straight line approximation to curves that in general are very hard to predict in advance about a lot of work, both theoretical and experimental. Right? But the simple model is that it's proportional to the current. We approximate the true true relationship is a straight line. Okay, so now in principle, right, I should be able to tell you, basically I should be able to tell you at time zero, here are four voltages, right? I tell you the voltage of these four things, and then I tell you what the current is at that moment in time, and then you should in principle be able to, with this model, right, if you know all the constants of proportionality, right, you should be able to then predict how the circuit will be in the, at future times. Right? Or another way to look at it would be, okay, let's take a bunch of measurements and see what the currents and the voltages are at a whole bunch of different times, and then use that data to infer what all these constants of proportionality must be. But this is these things set up a model, and so there, yeah, as I said, there's two perspectives, right? So what the more the first perspective I mentioned is okay. The current is for reasons historical reasons represented by the letter I, not the letter C. That's the mathematical problem, that's the value problem. The model should specify the model should be such that at any time t, all the relevant stuff should be in these numbers, current and voltage. Except it's not quite. There's actually one, as I put it, that initial value problem is impossible. There's one place in this model where, in order to know what's going to happen, the model depends on something that's not simply a current or a voltage. What's the one thing that's...
field that you were talking about before?
Well, I mentioned the field, but I didn't actually explicitly put it in the model.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, the field comes up to the coil. The voltage is proportional to the rate of change of the current.
The ohm?
Well, the number of ohms of resistance, that's one of the constants of proportionality, right? Voltage proportional to the current. It's right here.
Rate of change of the current.
Yeah. In order to use this model to predict what's going on, there's actually not five moving parts. There's six moving parts. You also need to know the rate of change of the current at an instant in time. If you gave me the current and voltages at two times, then I could estimate at least the rate of change of the current, and so I could. Try to predict the future or the past. But If you just give me one point, one instant in time with the four voltages and the current, that's not quite enough, because let's see if that's, is that quite enough? It doesn't look quite enough unless we can read it off. So let's see. Rate of change of current here. And let's see. So let's look at this very carefully. Can we do it? There's a loop up to zero. Okay. Changes. And I think so I think to figure this out will be okay if, you know, I think we'll be okay, because we'll have the coil voltage. And if we know the constant proportionality, we can solve for it. So I think we're going to be okay. All right. So what would be an equation? Let's start. I guess point one. I mean, that's just I equals current. Okay.
Voltage is current times resistance.
Okay. So I'm going to have, well, there. When we get, you're looking at number six. Number one, there's not really much there. I just picked a name for something. Model six. All right. We can. It's times some constant. And if you want to call that constant R, that's fine by me. That is technically the resistance, right? But you can just read it off, even if you don't know anything about circuits or physics. The resistor voltage is proportional to the current. So a constant multiple of the current is the resistor voltage. Yeah?
Or is resistor constant, right?
The R is constant. The resistance is constant. Yeah. Resistance is constant. Because it says proportional, so we're assuming that constant proportionality is a... We're assuming that the proportion is a constant, unless we're told otherwise. Okay. What other things can we model here? I think there are five sort of numbers...
The coil voltage is proportional to the reaction.
In number five, do you need like a constant times the rate of change?
Yeah. So the traditional choice for that constant is the letter L, which and the word for that constant L is the inductance. That's a whole other story. Okay. Okay. What other ones can we model here?
L constant. It's inductance, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't worry about the. I mean, you can get a physics book or an electrical engineering book and learn all the physical interpretations of the points. Can you take the words of a model and actually turn it into something mathematical? If that's formal enough that we can even teach a computer to solve it. Right? What about that?
Well, number three is just a constant, right?
Okay.
Right, is it just that?
Yes.
There's nothing more to it.
What about B cap dx over di, number four? I mean, the change of, I mean, the capacitor voltage changes as a real proportional to the current.
Yeah, okay, so dV cap dt.
Yeah, something like that.
And the constant is traditionally called the capacitance.
Yes, there you go. All right. But that was number four, no?
Did I miss number? Yeah, I missed number four. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
I was missing number two.
Oh, yeah.
What's number two?
V coil.
The four.
V mat and V cap.
Four objects in blue.
Okay, so I guess this one is not really very helpful, you know, what it does is the main point of this one is that there's one current if you think about it, I've got these four things. How do they interact with each other? Right? Well, there's kind of, on one hand, they interact in the sense that the four voltages are always adding up to zero. But the most important way in which they're interacting is that it's the same current for all four circuit elements, right? It's not capacitor current, coil current, resistor current, and battery current, right? You could think of this as saying, you know, that there's I cap equals I coil equals I res equals I bat, right?
So that's what one says. Would it be that the currents stay the same, but the voltages change, but no matter what the voltage is, they all add up to zero?
Right. Yeah, there is a connection, right? I mean, if I increase the voltage, if somehow the voltage of the resistor increased, then since the voltage of the battery is constant, right, somehow the voltage of the coil and cap combined, that those voltages would have to go down to compensate, right? That's kind of an indirect connection. And it's not clear, you know, which one's going to happen exactly. But since they all have the same current, that's going to tightly couple how the thing behaves. Now, what I want to do is I want to say, you know, in the initial value problem we're given there. So, you know, let's imagine, you know, at t equals zero, I somehow knew all these things. Right? Make up numbers, you know. That somehow we did some measurements one way or another. Some things, you know, like the components are labeled, you know, they tell you what the constant proportionality is, but there are ways to measure it if you don't believe the label. Thank you. Everything's supposed to add up to zero. How about I keep the one negative thing, the constant thing, all right? Pretend I choose to measure things then. Okay. So the initial value problem can be approached as a step-by-step process, right? So here, given this data, I claim that we could approximate. What's missing from here? How about I equals 0.3? this were a physics or engineering class, there'd be units and all these things, right? I don't want to get into that. So let's say I ask you to approximate I and the four voltages. At time t equals delta t, right? Just a little bit later, right? A small moment in time later, right? Could we approximate all this stuff? Right? I was thinking we would need one more thing, but actually I think with all five of these things here, I claim that actually, despite my earlier worries, this is enough information because.
What's L?
We'll find out.
Oh, so we don't know what L is. We don't know what L is.
Oh. L is some constant.
Oh, I see.
Which
is
300.
Okay.
Maybe the units on that are millihenries. I don't know. Okay. That's a real unit.
Okay.
That's an actual unit of inductance. Just as millimeters are a real unit of line. But anyways, okay. So how would we do it? How could you approximate the stuff at a time later? A small interval of time later.
We could find a rate.
Yeah.
Well, we both did. I just like plug in and solve for everything.
So
for the roots.
Like this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So delta I
T
over delta T would be approximately
-6 over
the derivative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would be
quarter
L.
Yeah.
Okay. Now for these I'm saying, you know, at T equals 0, right?
Yeah.
And this is the change from t equals 0 to t equals delta t, right? A little bit later, right? 1 microsecond, or whatever is the appropriate time scale. Depending on the units of these constants, you might need a very short time scale, because the circuit could actually oscillate very fast. I mean, the current could oscillate very fast, depending on the time scale. Depend on the units to tell you how fast it oscillates. Anyways, suppose there's some delta t small, right? With the change from time zero to a short time later is approximately the instantaneous rate of change at zero. Right? This rate of change, I should say, not change, but rate of change. So for example. So I guess we'll call it the new I, right, would be the old I plus that delta I. Right? The old I plus the old V coil. This is where the approximation is coming. We're approximating that change. The old V coil divided by the inductance, we have to multiply by delta t because we want the change as opposed to just the rate of change. Okay. So that gives us the new current, and so some of these things we can immediately figure out then, right? The resistance here, 50 times that current has to be 1, so I need to make that 1 over 50. Otherwise, it doesn't satisfy the equation. So this one's easy, right? We take the new I, which we've at least got an approximation of, right? Just times that constant R. Okay? See? and you can keep going. You could take I guess we did these two, but sort of.
What do you remember? Yeah. Five and six.
I guess the one thing, I guess we didn't quite do it. I'm starting to worry again if I'm going to need a six number. Probably the, we're going to need to figure out the new coil. We may need to know one more number to get the new B coil. But let me see here. Okay, the new battery voltage is the old battery voltage, so that's no problem.
That one, how come that one doesn't change?
That's just our model of how the battery works. It's actually a pretty good model. Until your battery is getting old from a lot of use, and then a good model of a battery is something with constant voltage in series with something that when your battery is nice and fresh, it's very low resistance. But when your battery is really old, it's like your battery is something with constant voltage in series with a really high resistance resistor. So hardly any useful current comes through. What do we need here? We need
UV coil.
Okay, this one's easy. We can get the new capacitance, right? How do we get the new capacitance? Voltage. The new V-cap. Like how we got the new current, right? All right. So, and with the same idea, to figure out. We have the instantaneous rate of change at time zero, because we can take the current at time zero times the capacitance at, which is always the same by assumption in our model, times that constant C. So C times I should be the instantaneous rate of change of the voltage at zero, which we can use to approximate an actual rate of change over a short time interval starting at zero. Change, right, from t equals zero to t equals delta t. Okay? So our estimate of the new capacitor voltage is given by the old capacitor voltage plus, and then we just solve this for the
delta V cap there. So multiply both of these by delta T.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this isn't section 9.1 stuff. This is a later section. It's the I'm getting into the Euler method, as it's called.
9.3.
Yeah, 9.3.
The stuff about translating the English into math is section 9.1 stuff, but this approximation thing here is the Euler method. Okay, we have this, and then there's one other thing that we need. We have at least approximations for three of the four voltages and an approximation for the current at the short time later. One other thing I keep getting worried that, oh, I'm not going to be able to figure it out is the current, the voltage on the coil, because I'm thinking, oh, well, if I differentiate this equation with respect to T, I'll get, rate of change of coil with respect to time equals constant times second derivative of current. And that seems like something that I wouldn't know. But actually, the way to get the new coil voltage is to use this equation.
Well, you know where the
capacitor is. I've got estimates. I know the battery voltage doesn't change. I have estimates of these things. And so I can solve for V coil, for the new V coil here.
So take the old, I guess it would just be all the three old things there, right? Negative V resistance, negative V battery, negative V capacitance.
But it's the new values, right? Or the old?
No, you're right. We can use the new values. Yeah, that would be more accurate. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we should use the new values. Right? If we don't use the new values, then we're going to get estimates of the new four voltages that won't add up to zero. Right? Okay, so I guess that was one slightly tricky thing here. So when we boil it down to it, there's kind of these five useful equations right here. And using those five equations, I was able to figure out how these five quantities, at least approximately, will change over a short interval of time. Okay. So there's two kind of things we did. We translated the model from English into more symbolic mathematics, and we saw the benefit of the translation that it was easier than to do a bunch of symbolic manipulation. And we have actually a procedure here, right? So you give me five old values along with those constants. Values the L, the R, the C, as I chose to name them. This instruction that's supposed to be at T equals zero. Anyways, given all that, right, we have a procedure here where we could estimate those five numbers, current and four voltages, at a later time. And you can implement this procedure, right? You could write a computer program to do it. I could do it in a spreadsheet, right? And then once we had the values of delta t, at least approximately, then we could add another delta t, right? Use the same thing again. Call the new values the old values and use the same procedure to estimate what will happen at time t equals 2 delta t. And then use the procedure again to estimate what will happen at time t equals 3 delta t. Okay? All right. So probably the easiest way to set all this up, at least for me, would be to enter some numbers and then some formulas into a spreadsheet and then copy-paste. right? So.
Let's see if we can do that. Make a decision about the delta t. Let's start with something. Maybe it's going to be 0.001. Okay, so I'm going to add 0.001 in whatever units. Copy and paste that. So I have a formula up there that says add to the B9, which just means the cell to the left because it's all relative. 0.001. And then I copy paste, so now these cells, add that. From the cell to the left, add 0.001. Now what do I do here? Alright, this one, the battery thing, new is always equal to old, so I say that my cell is equal to the cell to the left of the battery row. Interesting. I did coil in terms of new stuff, though, so I can't do that one yet. That one has to come last. It's an easier one. Resistor. No, something's missing here. Current. What's the current? The current is 0.02. Okay. The new current. What did I get for my new current? Okay, so it's going to be old current, right? And then I need to add
the current.
Yeah, so that's going to be the old coil voltage divided by the inductance. Now for the inductance, I'm going to use a dollar sign to tell it that it's always going to use that cell. I don't need to copy paste that cell over and over again, because that's going to be the same for all time. Okay. So you can see how the formulas vary now. The stuff before dollar sign is fixed. The other stuff is all relative. I'm going to do a copy paste. Okay. And then, what else do we need? We need the, what's the next thing we did? We did the resistance, okay? So that's going to be the new current. So go up, divide by resistance, and I'm going to put, a dollar sign on that, so that when I copy-paste, it always uses that same number. Don't try to interpret the numbers in the over here yet, because they depend on stuff that we haven't filled in yet, right? Now let's see about the capacitance. Yeah. Okay, well, the screen's partly covering it up, but it's the old capacitance, or the, sorry, old capacitor voltage plus that constant C times the
current.
Times the current at, well, I use the old current.
Times delta T. Okay, old capacitance plus absolute reference there to the capacitance cell. Times the old current times delta T. So, I want to make that absolute reference to the capacitance. And
it's just going up. A tiny bit up.
Yeah. So for that one, we can get. Well, we know that the rest, for that one, it would be negative all the other ones, right?
Right. The opposite of the other voltages. Okay. So now we actually have a model here. Okay, and so I've predicted out 8 steps in this example. And what we're predicting in this model is that the current is increasing, right? Look, see these numbers, 0.02, 0.03, 0.04, 0.05. Y'all are distracted over there.
Yeah, we're doing.
How can anything possibly be more exciting than my spreadsheet? Come on.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so look, we did 8 time steps now with the Euler approximation, and the model is predicting now a rising current, at least over these first 8 time steps. Obviously, the battery voltage is not changing. Looks like coil voltage is going down. Mm-hmm.
And the capacitance is increasing a tiny bit.
Capacitor voltage is going up.
Yes.
Voltage resistance is it going
up?
It's going up.
It's going up too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And
of course, there's a couple of ways. You know, if you want to see more, I mean, one thing I could just do is I can just copy paste. Right, and get. I can look further into the future. All right. See what's happening. It looks like something interesting is happening in that. See what's happening here. Look at the resistance voltage. Going, it looks like it went just going up, 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 up.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Wait, hold on. Yeah, I think so.
And until here,
yeah,
right, then it starts to
decrease again.
I think actually, right here, like,
yeah,
right here. Starting to go back, starting to come back down.
Why?
Uh-huh. Well, why? Yes. That's a very good question. Right? Well, to answer why, we could look at the actual differential equations involved more. I mean, the intuitive explanation is that if you're looking over here, okay, there's kind of a feedback loop here,
mm-hmm.
In that since the voltages have to add up to zero, what happens if you have, So, I mean, the resistance is just proportional to the current. So if the resistance voltage is, resistor voltage, so that voltage is going up and down, it's because current is going up and down, first of all. So we really need to ask, why would the current oscillate? And if you look right here, you have two things right here. 5 and 4 go together. Okay. It helps to maybe simplify the model a little bit. Pretend for a moment that there was no resistor and no battery, okay? Or that they always, you know, so there was just the coil and the capacitor, right? Okay. If you had a coil and capacitor only, then I think you can understand the oscillation in the simplified model, and you have to work harder to understand it in the full model. Okay, but in the simplified model, if you look at this, the second derivative of this thing, the second derivative of the capacitance voltage would have to be C times di dt, right? Which is equal to C over L times the coil and then if there's only a coil and capacitor, then the capacitance is the opposite of the coil and voltage, right? So in this simpler model, you can see the oscillation because the second derivative is proportional to the opposite of the current value. So that means if you're positive, there's downward acceleration. If you're negative, there's upward acceleration. The result is oscillation. Okay. I mean, if you think about it, the second derivative of a sine is negative sine. The second derivative of cosine is negative cosine. Yeah.
So it's getting positive, negative, back and forth.
Okay. So you can understand this model of... You start by simplifying it until you can't understand it. Then start adding back in the other pieces.
Right.
The full model will have a kind of a situation where it'll be decaying oscillation. The frequency stays the same, but the amplitude goes down, basically.
Okay.
But it looks like we're running over time here, so.
Way.
What was I going to do? I was going to tell you to work on a problem. Here's something where you can have practice with Euler's method. Look at chapter 9, review number 4. It's on page 635.